we're trying to figure that out. And as we have been trying to figure that out, God has led us to three significant sections of Scripture. And it's not to say that there's not other significant sections of Scripture. I fully acknowledge that. I mean, how do you say this verse is significant and this verse is not significant? You know, there may be verses at times that's significant for you where you are, and other verses later. And like what we were talking about this morning, you know, I think the Scripture's for all of us right now, especially for believers. Anything that says fear not, which is 300 plus Scriptures that not walk in fear. But these are the three Scriptures that I think that the Holy Spirit has led us to and that we've been looking at and we've been trying to tie together. The first one is 1 Corinthians 4:15, and I'm reading out of the Passion Bible just because I like how it says, "For although you could have countless babysitters," and some versions have guides, teachers, instructors, "in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you, for I become your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the Anointed One." And the other one is Acts 2:43, out of Acts 2:42 to 47. "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." And in 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 14, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, another according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And I'll just stop there. And the deal is, all this stuff we've been talking about fathers and mothers, mentors, whatever term you want to use, the gifts of the Spirit, it's all about 1 Corinthians 12:7. Out of the ESV, that it's all for the common good, for the NLT, so we can help each other. Father, I pray that you just be with us this morning, that you lead us and you guide us, that you speak to us, that you encourage us. Lord, that you would just draw us into your presence. And Father, we do continue to pray as our president has requested us that we would pray against this thing called the coronavirus, that we would pray for victory, that we would pray for peace, and that we would pray that people would not walk in fear, but that you are a God of abundance and that you are greater than the enemy who created this disease. So, Father, we ask that you just cause it to stop, and that you continue to give our president wisdom. And Lord, that you would just move upon Washington, D.C. and help them to walk in unity in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. All of these things are for the common good so we can help one another. Why? So we can build God's kingdom and so we can build the church, which is us. Because the church is not this building or any other building. The building is the people, the people, the people. Over this last few weeks, as we've been looking at the gifts, we've established one thing really strongly. The gifts have not gone bye-bye. They're still very much available to us today. And they're there to help us to walk into all God has for us. They're there to help us to be the people that God has caused us and called us to be. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at tongues, and last week we looked at the utterance of wisdom, which pertains to the how or the instruction, and the utterance of knowledge, which pertains to the what or information. See, words of wisdom and knowledge are significantly important, and we have to understand they come to us in various ways. Well, actually, in a couple different ways. They can come through to us in our experience of walking after God. It's that good old down-home horse sense that was obtained as you walked through life, beating your head against the wall as you got into the Bible to try and figure out the truth and how to run the race before you. But it's also comes to you directly from God in those moments when you need some spiritual knowledge or some spiritual wisdom. But they're all for the common good. They're all so that we can help each other to run the race that we have set before us. A test always for the gifts, for actually for anything, for the New Testament church is, does it edify? Does it build up? Does it encourage? And does it strengthen? That does not eliminate rebukes. That does not eliminate discipline. Because discipline and rebukes given in the right spirit will edify, will build up, will encourage, will strengthen, because it will take us off the path that we were on that was a little wrong and put us on the path that God intended for us to be on. But it has to be done in love. We need all the gifts so we can walk out our lives that Jesus has called us to walk, so we can be those fathers, so we can be those mothers, the disciples, the mentors, the encouragers, whatever term you want to use. I'm just using fathers and mothers because that's what comes out of the scripture, but so does disciples and everything else. You know, I mean, what's the Great Commission? To go into all the nations making what? Disciples. So going on today, I want to move to 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another faith by the same Spirit. The Greek word there is pistis, and it means to believe in with a firm persuasion, not just a belief, but just firm persuasion, a conviction, to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance upon our God. Something to think about. Do we trust God? Do we rely upon Him completely? See, most of the time when you see the word faith in the New Testament, the Greek word is pistis, or a root of pistis. There's some others there, but that the majority is that. So a question I have, and I asked this question a long time ago as I was reading the Bible and over the years as I've studied it. The question I've had for years is there a difference between the use of the word faith in this section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:9 versus other places in the Bible? To me, and this is where you need to put on your Berean hats, but to me it seems clear, my humble but accurate opinion is, I'm just kidding, is yes. See, I break down faith into kind of like three areas. And I know it's just like when we talked about prayer, the five different things of prayer. It's kind of shady, and they kind of float across each other. And it's the same way with here with faith. But I kind of look at faith in three different ways. Conversion faith, continuing faith, and charismatic faith. So let's look at these three, and we're going to spend most of the time on charismatic faith. True, you can't find these terms in the Bible. I have seen some theologians, both conservative and liberal, actually, that use some of these terms. But to me, I've become very comfortable. Again, put on your Berean hats. So conversion faith. What is conversion faith? You tell them, Shania. Oh, it's Alec? Forgive me, Shania. Careful. Conversion faith. It's that faith that comes upon us that leads us to repentance as that we understand, and I remember this vividly when all of a sudden it just hit me like a rock hitting me in the side of the head, that Jesus died on the cross, even though I'd heard that message, but it became very personal. And that He covered my sins, that I was justified by Him, In other words, that he brought me into salvation and he took care of all the sins. It's backed up by Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, and I'm using the ESV. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I mean, we all know that you don't become a Christian by works, but it's by faith in Christ. See, every biblical believer, follower of Jesus, has this faith. They just know that Jesus gave him salvation, and it was through his blood on the cross. The second is continuing faith. This is more or less the faith, and remember, these kind of, I'm really cutting hard lines where it's difficult to cut hard lines. But for sake of discussion, this is the faith that we exercise daily. It's the faith that helps us to get up in the morning and to walk out what God has for us that day. It's the faith that without thinking, we do the things as husbands that we should do, as wives that we should do, as people that we should do. It's that faith that really helps us to look to God in a trusting manner, while at the same time knowing that he radically loves us and he has us in his hand and he won't drop us. See, this is the faith of the Hebrews 11:1, reading again from the New Living Translation. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for is the evidence of things we cannot see. See, it's that faith as you read through Hebrews, and there'll be some charismatic faith in there, and there'll be some, you know, so it's, just remember, it's kind of hard to define, but it's that just walking out life. It's that normal thing when somebody asks you, are you a Christian? And you have the ability to open your mouth and explain why you're a Christian and what that means. Okay? But it's also faith that helps us to walk times not through blessing, but through suffering and persecution. Hebrews 11, 36 to 37. Reading from the ESV. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Do you think they could do that without faith? See, this faith that I'm talking about, the continuing faith, it's the faith that kept me going, has kept me going no matter what Satan threw at me, or no matter what the world threw at me, and sometimes, unfortunately, no matter what people threw at me. It's the faith that helps us to seek God even when things are not going well, because we know that he loves us and we can trust him. And that in the midst of whatever's going on, he will use it for his glory and our good, Romans 8:28. That's a great definition of grace. Then there's the charismatic faith, which is, I think, what Paul was talking about when God was speaking through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:9 to another faith by the same Spirit. It's part of what a lot of theologians call the supernatural gifts. It's what I affectionately call the nine. It's interesting, if you're in a place, someplace where people are sitting around you and they're got all these PhDs and PhDs and things hanging off their titles, and they're talking about this has actually happened to me, about the supernatural gifts. I said, oh, you mean the nine? And they just look at me like, how can you desecrate the word of God? But that's what they are. They're nine. I just affectionately call them that. This is faith that seems to be given to us at extraordinary moments in our lives when we need them. Acts 3:6, ESV. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts 14:8-9 out of the New Living Translation. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth. He had never worked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. And looking straight at him, Paul realized he just knew that he knew that he knew that he had faith to be healed. It's the faith that we talked about at the beginning back a couple months ago of the gifts that ties in the continuous fillings of the Holy Spirit. It's the faith that in my own personal life that God just moved upon me as I walked through brain aneurysms, as I walked through the removal of my large intestine, as I walked through the loss of a wife, as I walked through, I'm sorry to say pancreatic cancer, but prostate cancer. But as I walked through all of these things, there was this peace. There was this presence that was so, I was so immersed in that I knew that in the midst of that situation, I could, it wasn't one of those things that where I was just going, I trust you, Lord, I believe you, I have faith in you. But it was, I just knew that I knew that I knew that God was there in the midst of all of it. I could completely trust him and he had my back. I don't know if this faith is always resident within us, but I do know this, that it's always available, and then it will be administered by the Holy Spirit when we need it. Now, the caveat to that is sometimes we need to be actively pursuing God in the midst of the trials and tribulations. But sometimes he just gives that peace. He just wants to use us. Or it comes to when he wants to use us in an extraordinary way. Donald Carson, in his book, Showing the Spirit, A Theological Exposition of 1 Corinthians, which is a good book. This is a special faith that enables a believer to trust God to bring about certain things for which he or she cannot claim some divine promise recorded in Scripture or some state of affairs grounded in the very structure of the gospel, that God just does it. Sam Storms in The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. The gift of faith is that mysterious surge of confidence that rises within a person in a particular situation of need or challenge and which gives us an extraordinary certainty and assurance that God is about to act through a word or an action. And I can remember laying on my bed, in the hospital bed, when my pain on a 1 to 10 scale was about a 15, having such an amazing peace. That though they were rushing as fast as they could because they were afraid the aneurysm would pop before they got me into the room, and the doctor later told me he got there just before it popped. But that's the hand of God. And there was that peace that I just wasn't worried about it. You know? It was a dire situation. You know? The prostate cancer was a dire situation. But you can ask Chris. She walked through me with the prostate cancer. I never was concerned about it. We're talking about cancer. That is God. That is charismatic faith. He just gave that to me. It wasn't because I was really good at conjuring up something. It was because the Holy Spirit, because I was focusing my life on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was there to just surround me. I mean, I walked into the radiation room 42 times. Now, some people might say, well, why, if you had that kind of faith, why didn't God just heal you? Can't answer that question. I wish I could, but I can't. But I tell you what, there was 5 people in that room off and on, and the doctor that I talked to about the Lord a lot. Okay? I don't know. It's faith I didn't conjure up, and I don't think we can conjure it up. I think we have faith to walk out the life. I think we have faith. But I think there's times when we cry out to God, he just pours his faith into us so we know that he knows and knows. I mean, the bottom line for me, charismatic faith is a gift that we receive according to God's divine will that causes us to believe something that may be beyond our normal level of faith. If you know the story of Hudson Taylor, It was charismatic faith that came upon him that caused him to go to China. George Mueller, if you know the story about that and the homes and how many children he fed. It wasn't normal faith. How about Heidi Baker and all she's doing in Mozambique? It's not because she went over there and said, I can do this. No, she has this faith in planting all these churches and feeding all these kids and doing all these things. How about us starting a church in Jefferson City? I used to say pigs would fly before I moved to Jefferson City. And now they fly. I didn't want to move to Jefferson City. And we're still here 21 years later. And some people might say, well, look around. You don't have a lot of faith. You know, God's the one who builds the church. I have faith in him to bring the people. It's like I had had a little conversation with a person this morning who, she didn't walk out of here mad. She wants to experience a whole two-hour service. She didn't know that it was, she thought it was just an hour and she had something to be at 11. Anyway, as I was explaining to her, it's about doing what God wants you to do. That everybody that comes here doesn't come here just to receive. They come here to give because I need you guys. And I know this hurts Robert to hear, but he needs me. Everybody needs me. He's just staring at me. It's Peter and John courageously preaching the gospel when they were told not to. When they opposed the Sanhedrin and it's them when they healed a cripple in the name of Jesus in Acts. It's Paul not wavering in his faith in Acts 27 on board a ship when it appears it might sink. Charismatic faith believes in God greatly beyond our normal day-to-day faith. It's knowing that the prayer that you are praying will be answered. How many people have prayed for something and they hope it will be answered? And when you've prayed for something, you just knew that you knew that you knew. I knew Satan wasn't going to get me with the aneurysm. I knew Satan wasn't going to get me with the cancer. And I knew God.
I told you.
I love it. I won't explain on the tape what that just was, but anyway. I just knew. See, the gift of faith isn't about us. We pray with the charismatic faith when the Holy Spirit prompts us. It convicts us with knowing that we know that we know that God wants to do something. And then we become the conduit. We become the person that takes the step of faith and prays according to his divine leading by the Holy Spirit. When God heals someone or calls us to go somewhere or to do something or whatever. But we just know that we know that we know that that's supposed to happen. I heard a teaching once. It was at a conference. I believe it was Jack Deere. Really good guy. Is he the one who went out to Calumet? Jack Deere? Out to Washington, started the church? Huh? But anyway. But he basically said this, all true Christians are saved. That's the conversion faith. We all believe God is with us. That's the continuing faith. We all believe God answers prayer, which is the continuing faith. And then from time to time as we pray, we just know, we are convinced, we would lay our lives down that God will answer the prayer we are praying. And it's charismatic faith. It's charismatic faith when we begin to pray and all of a sudden we just have that caught upness that it's hard to describe it, that we just know that our prayer is going to be answered, that we just know that we know that we know. Whether it be for healing or suddenly that we're convinced that somebody would be healed or we just know that God wants us to go someplace, whatever it is. It's much more than believing that God answers prayer. It's knowing. It's that intimate knowing. And it's a gift for the common good so we can help each other. I mean, what's that do to people around? Say Ross prayed for somebody and it was he just knew that when he prayed for this person, they were going to be healed. And there's people around it, and they see that person healed. What happens? It's for the common good. People's faith increases. They believe that they can pray. And then God. But let me assure you of something. When he wills to do so, we will know in our hearts with a confidence that it is he who is leading us to do whatever or pray whatever. I'm not saying when we just pray, go about praying for each other, which we need to be doing all the time, that God doesn't answer prayer. He does. In a couple of weeks, we'll hear some stuff, and I have full expectation we're going to see some people heal. And it may be through the charismatic faith, or it may be, and I'm going to read a story here in a little bit to tie this all together, or it may be just, that's the thing I'm supposed to do, is pray for people. Because I prayed for people, and just because I knew what prayed for, and they've gotten healed. And I've had some times where I just knew when I laid hands on that person and when I prayed for them, they were going to get healed. There is just absolutely no doubt in my mind. It's just like going back to my own personal story that when I heard the prognosis and the whole thing that as it evolved over 1, 2, 3, 4 days, I just knew. Even though the diagnosis was completely blown on the aneurysm, I just knew that I would come through it. It's like when Chris and I met and we were dealing with 22 years difference. She said to God, I want to know that I know that I know. She wanted that charismatic faith to know that she was supposed to marry this old guy. Okay? And God came to her. And she knew that she knew that she knew, as I did. And the 22 years drifted away like a vapor. It was a non-starter. So let me read you this page, read you the story. It's out of a book by Sam Storms called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. He's got a lot of good things to say in here, but it's like everything some of the stuff I have a tough time with, but that's where we put on our brilliant hats. But I love this story. One Sunday, a couple came to me before the service and asked that the elders of a church anoint their infant son and pray for his healing. After the service, we gathered in the back room and I anointed him with oil. I don't recall the precise medical name for his condition, but at 6 months of age, he had a serious liver disorder that could require immediate surgery if something didn't change. As we prayed, something very unusual happened. As we laid hands on this young child, I found myself suddenly filled with an overwhelming and inescapable confidence that he would be healed. It was totally unexpected. Not wanting to be presumptuous, I tried to doubt but couldn't. I prayed confidently, filled with a faith unshakable and undeniable. I said silently to God, Lord, you really are going to heal him. Although the family left the room unsure, I was absolutely certain God had healed him. The next morning, the doctor agreed. He was totally healed and is a healthy, happy young boy today. We need to be seeking that kind of faith. We need to be crying out that God would pour out that kind of faith. We're especially going up to 2 weekends from now. Okay? That's what we're going to be praying about next Friday as we have a day of prayer and fasting and Friday night when we gather here to pray. Let me tell you something. I always want this church to be centered upon Jesus, Nothing else can ever be worshipped here. We can never worship the gifts. But that doesn't mean we don't function in a way where he is free to manifest his gifts. But in the midst of those gifts, we always want to be a church where we give glory to God, where we thank Jesus, where we don't gather together to receive the gifts, but we gather together to honor the triune God, and yet with expectation that he will manifest his love in various ways. That's the kind of church that I believe God has called us to be. And the charismatic faith and the other gifts and the ones I'm going to talk about in the weeks to come, they're all part of that for the common good so we can help each other. Like I said earlier, I know that you can pray at times and you may not have this gift of charismatic faith where you just know there is no doubt in your mind this person's going to heal, but you pray in faith anyway that God heals. And sometimes I've been surprised and go, whoa. Okay? And you all know what I'm talking about. But we also want this charismatic faith to manifest itself more so we see more healings and more miracles, which are the next two gifts that I will explore. But remember, the worship team wants to come back up. They're for the common good. They're so we can help each other. We're family. We have relationships. We're not alone. So we can be fathers and mothers. So we can be mentors, disciples, encouragers, those who strengthen, those who build up, those who edify, whatever term you want to use. But all so we can build the king, his kingdom, and the church in power, so that all of us will walk into all God has for us. Amen.